This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I get concerned about friends, people I care about, people that are important to me. And when I saw yesterday a very, very small bird dive bomb into the head of Jeff Passan, I said, we got to have Jeff on just to check to see if it's okay. I mean, that could cause an injury of some sort. Again, a very small bird, while he's on live TV,
right,
flew right into his forehead. So the great Jeff Passan joins us now. And Jeff, the first question is, how are you? Because that looks serious.
Yeah, Andrew reached out to me yesterday to come on the show. And I have to be honest, I was just nursing my injuries. I was laying down with a hot compress on my head, just making sure that I was going to be okay after that. It was a harowing moment, Michael.
Now, did you have a monitor? Could you see what it was? Because I would think just from a pure feel that bird would have to be on the table.
Did you see the size of that fly?
Yeah. That's what I mean.
It looked like an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
I'm always very self-conscious about how I appear on TV anyway, because I just, when I look in the mirror, it's not pleasant sometimes. And I have a couple of tendencies, one of which is to talk out of the side of my mouth. I don't know why I do it. I just do that. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, open your mouth, you idiot. And the other is that I don't blink, except I was in Phoenix and staring directly into a very bright sun yesterday. So I had tears in my eyes that I was hoping were not going to leak down my face. And all of a sudden, this fly lands on my head. And I had two options, guys. I could either make it through and tough it out, or I could smack myself in the face and turn into a meme. And it took everything in my power to stave off that really scary moment when the fly landed on my head.
I believe that.
You're a hero, Jeff.
Watching that and your ability to plow through, I believe you could be a diamond cutter.
That's how good he is.
I appreciate that, Michael.
Really? I mean, that's total pro. Nothing distracts you.
Not since Mike Pence have we seen concentration like that.
I don't think the vice president didn't know it was on his head.
I knew that it was there. I was right. Well aware that it was there, but I had an obligation to the viewers of ESPN.
Beautiful.
I kept my composure and didn't act like something that difficult in my life was going to stand in my way of delivering that report.
Also, your inability to blink or your unwillingness to blink also begs some demonic questions. What's going on with that? Why don't you blink?
I'm a robot. I don't know. And here's the thing. I don't think anybody would really notice. I got a couple of Twitter comments sometimes. Is Jeff Passan a robot because he doesn't blink? And so I sometimes will force myself to blink, but when I'm talking, I just, I don't know, maybe I'm focusing so hard because the words come out with such difficulty that at the end, finally, the CPU cools down and allows me to blink.
It kind of reminds me, there's this movie from 1940 called The Great Dictator. It's one of the few talkies that Charlie Chaplin was in. And he's got this amazing, long, it's an incredible speech that he has at the end of the movie, and he doesn't blink for like 5 straight minutes. I mean, you're at that level. Like, that's the greatness. You're like Charlie Chaplin level talent. How about that?
Good story. It's a good story, Don. Thanks.
let's talk about...
I don't have to ask any questions. I'm good.
More serious things. The resignation of the Seattle CEO and president, and the things that he said about service time manipulation, is that going to impact at all the upcoming CBA negotiations?
It's a really good question, and my instinct initially was no, that this is the sort of thing that was just spoken aloud when everybody in the game understands and recognizes that it's the typical practice. But I talked to someone, and he brought up a really good point. The meetings with the Major League Baseball Players Association and its rank and file are starting soon. And you know that the union leaders in all 30 of those meetings are going to say to the players, this is how they're acting. This is what they're doing. This is what we are up against with our collective bargaining agreement expiring December 1st. And we damn sure better stick together, because if we don't, this is what they're going to do to us. And in that regard, I think it probably will have an effect. I don't know how tangible an effect it really will be, though. The reality, guys, is that these kinds of conversations, not just about service time manipulation, but about language skills and about guys who are toward the end of their contracts and maybe making more than they produce. Those kind of conversations happen all the time. You just don't see people like Kevin Mather doing it in a forum that winds up being public. Right. And I think in that situation, it was as much as anything a guy who doesn't do day-to-day baseball operations trying to sound like he's involved with the stuff. But in the end, these are not abnormal conversations in front offices. And I think it speaks to especially the part with Julio Rodriguez, a 20-year-old, absolute going to be a star for the Mariners. His English is good. It's particularly good for somebody who, coming out of the Dominican Republic at 16 years old, didn't know English. But the fact that that is still a point of contention with people, I think, speaks to some of the inequity that happens in baseball, and that's part and parcel with the game, where you're talking about kids dropping out of school at 10 years old to focus on baseball so they can come to an agreement with clubs at 13 years old so they can sign at 16 years old. There are so many misplaced incentives in Latin America these days, and it's one of those stories that it just frankly doesn't get talked about enough, because it's sad and it's unfortunate, and it's something that really needs to change.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let me ask you this, because you would know for sure. So the service time manipulation is something that obviously angers the players. But I wonder, Jeff, is it illegal or is it a loophole that they're taking advantage of? Now, every team should want to have the player there that helps them win on day one. But if you could keep a guy in the minors for 3 weeks and save a year of service time, that makes good business sense. So are they doing something illegal or just morally wrong?
Yeah, it's not illegal. It's a letter versus spirit of the law question.
Right.
And we saw this with the Chris Bryant grievance, because remember, it's 172 days to get a full year of service. And Chris Bryant was called up, so he has 171 days. You know, if they had called him up a day earlier, he would have been a free agent this past offseason.
And they probably would prefer that. And,
yeah, well,
it came back to bite him.
You know, yeah, Bryant ended up grieving that, and despite there being some evidence to back him up, ended up losing the grievance. And so this is part of the collective bargaining agreement. I ran this by somebody on the player side yesterday, because I think that is a compelling argument, Michael. Like, let's say you think a player is going to be a 3 or 4 win player by the time he's coming around in that final season before free agency. At most in arbitration, you're going to pay him around $25 million. And if he's producing 3 or 4 wins above replacement, you're talking about a marginal difference of anywhere between $5 and $20 million on that 3 or 4 win player. If he's a 5 or 6 win player, we're talking $30 or $40 million. But man, there are not many players who wind up being that good, right? And further, let's look at the case of Fernando Tatis Jr. I think this is a really instructive thing for baseball. And I wrote about this yesterday, how the Padres brought Fernando Tatis Jr. up for opening day in 2019. They could have service-timed him. They could have gotten an extra year. But by bringing him up, they started forging a relationship that I think had a big part to do with the contract that he ended up signing. And if indeed Fernando Tatis Jr. spends all 14 of those years in San Diego, they will have kept around a generational type player in a market that simply does not get those types of guys. Those guys hit free agency after 6 or 7 years and go to the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, et cetera, et cetera. And so to me, if you can use the ability to bring a guy up and say, you know, we're not going to play games with you. We're not going to screw around. We're not going to mess with your livelihood. We want you to be here because you deserve to be here. That's something that can pay off in the long term. And if it does pay off, whatever marginal difference you were going to get in that extra year of manipulating his service time, you may get back in plenty of other ways.
Right. It's a gut feeling, though, as we close with you. Is there going to be a work stoppage?
Gut feeling, yes.
That's awful.
I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, of course it is. I hope I'm wrong. I would like to believe that everybody on the player side, the owner side, top to bottom, recognizes that a work stoppage would be horrendous for the sport. It would be horrendous not just from a revenue standpoint, which is what a lot of them think of, but it would be horrendous for a game that I think is ascendant right now, a game that is being played extraordinarily well and has compelling people and personalities. And if you allow money to get in the way, it's something from which they will recover. But that recovery is going to take a lot longer, I think, than anybody wants to recognize or admit. And I'd like to think that the difference between the sides is small enough at this point where they'll be able to figure out something that's mutually agreeable and keep baseball going on the track it is right now.
Now, Jeff, my 6-year-old son reads a series of books called Fly Guy. So I would like to call you that from now on, Fly Guy.
I love it. Let's
Is
make it happen.
Right?
I'll even sign the books for him. That'll be great. listen, Michael, anytime that you give me a nickname, it feels like a privilege and an honor. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it comes organically and from a good place. I hope you know that.
Of course. I've been called much worse by much better. So
and do you all, oh, wow. Do you also realize that Peter Rosenberg has turned on you?
What?
Peter Rosenberg has come out and clearly said that Steve Young is the number one guest and you're number two. He is turned on you.
That's not turning on him.
Yes, it is.
No, I think Jeff's tremendous. But Steve felt felt the pressure, and he absolutely stepped up. I mean, listen, Jeff knows that if he's dealing with Steve Young going at his absolute hardest, that's a tough out. He's one of the greatest to ever play the game, and he's a great guest.
You know what, Michael? I'm actually okay with that because if Steve Young stepped up his game because he was feeling threatened by me, Steve Young's a teammate of mine. And if I can make him better, then I'm perfectly okay with being number two. See? It's an incorrect take, but that's okay. We all have our faults.
See, that's beautiful. A teammate, Michael. That's what a teammate is.
That is. It is.
Yeah, learn something from this man, Michael.
All right, Jeff, get yourself a spray can of off next time you go on the air.
And Jeff, last thing, what do you think about Aaron Judge's gorgeous chompers?
Listen, Aaron Judge did what he did for a reason that I'm not privy to, and if he likes how they look, I'm very happy for him. I enjoyed his teeth. I thought that I think no, I'm serious. I think somebody who goes through life with a gap in his or her teeth is a supremely self-confident person who doesn't care what others think. And I think that Michael Strahan's teeth are beautiful. I think Lauren Hutton's teeth are beautiful. And Aaron Judge, whether they are straight and gapless or with that tiny little sliver in the front, he has great teeth either way. So I'm happy for Aaron Judge. I will miss the gap, but maybe he can just hit more balls there this year and make up for it.
Well, beautifully said. What a great take. Really, an honest, heartfelt take. Thank you, Jeff.
My pleasure, guys. Great being with you.
Be well.
Take care, Jeff.
That is the great Jeff Passan. And if you don't know, if you just tuned in, Aaron Judge filled in the gap in his front teeth. Looks completely different.
He really does. He looks terrific. Not that he was – I never thought he was an unattractive guy, But, you know, listen, he looks a lot more symmetrical, which is what
I tell you what, if I had a gap in my teeth, I would definitely fill it in.
I've considered redoing my teeth, and my teeth are mostly fine.
You're a handsome man no matter what you do.
I just thought there's something. When you go from, like, regular teeth to the gorgeous, pristine veneers, oh, man, it's a game changer.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.